Let us pray. God the Father, in the birth of Jesus, you poured yourself out into the world. In his baptism, you poured out your Spirit upon him. In our worship, and now pour out yourself into us. And in love, we may pour ourselves into the world in love. In the name and Spirit of Christ. Reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This is the living word of God, which is the good news from Mark's Gospel, in the first chapter. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness proclaiming the baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. People from all around the Judean countryside and everybody from Jerusalem was coming up to be baptized by him. And the Jordan River confessing their sins. Like John wore clothing made of camel's hair with leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "One who is mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Well, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit drove him out of the room. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
At the heart of his teaching, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the realm of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for people will know that they are children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of justice, for theirs is the realm of heaven." Living a life in which you appreciate being poor in spirit because it brings you closer to God. Imagine living a life in which you trusted your poverty of spirit because you trusted God. Imagine living in a community in which our poverty of spirit were our common ground. The one thing we all knew we had in common, that we were poor in spirit. Imagine knowing and feeling that all of your arguments, but only the little griefs that you carry. Hopes to be lost. Hostilities that have left you. Your grief for the world. Grief for other people and their struggles. Imagine trusting that all of that is covered. Imagine living in a community in which all the members were there to comfort one another in their growing hearts. Not to fix it, not to make it feel better, just to walk with them and keep learning. Imagine being driven by hunger and thirst for God. Imagine your entire life being as focused as a bird in this winter cold and pursuit, looking for God, looking, hungry, thirsting for how to be a part of God's grace in the world, how to work to bring about justice. Imagine being part of a community that is bound by that hunger and the confidence that they will be satisfied. Imagine being part of a community that understands their calling to be, to practice being merciful. Put the word there to just practice mercy on one another and then carry that mercy out into the world. Imagine being part of a community in which people were practicing being pure in heart, practicing just wanting to love and nothing else. Imagine being a part of a community who is practicing being peaceful, practicing bringing healing and reconciliation and justice to the world. Imagine a community that actually accepted the power of God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Imagine a community that is practicing that work even though they knew they would be persecuted. There would be pushback, there would be resistance from people outside of that community and from people within the community, and even resistance within themselves. Imagine living in that kind of life. We baptize. We baptize into the body of Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. Like Jesus was. We become a part of Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus' death and resurrection, in which you don't have to imagine all those things. Because that's what we are baptized into. When we are baptized, we enter into Jesus' baptism, in which we see heaven torn open. There is no barrier between us and God, no distance. We hear the voice of God as we see that Spirit descend on each one of us and all of us together. There is that voice that says, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That becomes our life. What it is that we are to live out. And as always, the gospel is good news, the catch. Good news is, "You are my beloved," God says. That's a quotation from Psalm 2, which is about the Messiah. Good news is that you're God's beloved. The catch is, you are also God's Messiah. You are worthy. That phrase, "with whom I am well pleased," is a quotation from one of Isaiah's servant songs. Psalms, Isaiah's oracle, and Psalms about this faithful servant of God who is chosen at the inception, that God has chosen for this job before they were even conscious. And God has sent them to do this work on behalf of God to bring peace and justice to all the world. And it will take some suffering in order to accomplish it. All of that we see in Jesus, both the Messiah and the suffering of God's servant. And in baptism, we are immersed in that same blessing with that same strangeness. You are God's love. Now, act like it. Live like it. The Spirit is given to do. It's not something you have to give great effort to. The great effort we have to exert is to allow the Spirit to do all of that in us. So, a lot of the symbolism around baptism is the symbolism of drowning. In the earliest church, you would go down into a tomb-shaped pool of water in the total darkness and be pronounced dead. The men and women would go into separate rooms, they'd strip naked, the people to be baptized, and they would go down into this water, this tomb, and be pronounced dead. Too bad, such a great person. And at the last minute, come up out of the water, gasping for air, and you'd be given air. You'd be dried off and given new clothes and given a new name and sent back out into the light as a new person, a new creation. When we enter into the baptism of Christ, we die. We let go of all of our agenda, all of our fears and hopes and desires, and allow ourselves to be recreated as the body of Christ, the Messiah of God. It's hard work, cruel suffering, and it's a blessing. And it's the Spirit in us that will do all of it. So, like being married, once you've been baptized, you're in. And you can't not. But it doesn't mean you need to keep getting married over and over. But it does mean we need to keep renewing our baptism vows. So in a few minutes, we will renew that mystery. We will immerse ourselves in that grace. And here God asks us to simply surrender and say yes to what God was doing in us. Listen for this voice. You are God's beloved, with whom God has loved you. Live that. You pray with me. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this community. To be beautified, to help them. So with one another, we open our hearts to your grace and your Spirit. We might be born again in the waters of your womb, baptism of your love. Presence and to listen to your voice, and for the courage choose to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love. We live in harmony with your grace.